icon, Artie Kornfeld, one of the most successful writers in rock history, with over 65 songs on the chart and over 120 platinum records as composer, publisher, producer, performer, manager, and promoter, comes the official memoir and tell-all story of growing up in the culture of American music. From Artie's breakthrough as the first vice president of rock in the music industry, to his collaboration with some of the biggest legends in music, to the building of a nation, the Woodstock Nation. Continuing in the footsteps of his mother, Shirley Kornfeld, who fought segregation by organizing freedom rides in the 1950s and 60s, Artie has been committed to fighting for freedom since childhood. This memoir is a look into the soul of the development of the rock culture through the eyes of someone who has been on the inside from the beginning, through Woodstock 69 and beyond, to a new spirit of the Woodstock Nation.
Join Artie live every Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Artist First Radio Network.
We're all playing in the same band. There's enough guitars for you and me. Stand beside your brother and take his hand. Seems the times are changing, finally. We're all playing in the same band. Sing the song together and you'll see. Let them know forever just where you stand. People must be learning finally. And we're all playing in the same band. We're all playing in the same band. We're all playing in the same band. Oh, him, her, you and me, them and those, he and she and we, and we. Him, her, you and me, them and those, he and she and we. Guitars for you and me. Stand beside your brother and take his hand. Seems the times are changing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Artie Kornfeld.
Wow, sometimes that's very scary when I hear that. Anyway, welcome to, tonight we'll call it the Spirit of the Woodstock Nation, because I like, that's really important to keep alive, especially in these times, and have a band on. Remember, I I have had almost, I would say, 30% people from the bands that played at Woodstock. And then I made the announcement, we're going to give you all different kind of music that's good, that's on the internet, that should, if radio was happening without all the payoffs, you'd be hearing, but these guys who work so hard never get a chance to be heard. You know, and now I know for a fact that, you know, on a bad day, there's 100,000 people listening, you know, and after the logs go through it, you know, shows are over a million, you know, so it's like so good that we all connect, and it's all because of the spirit, and it's not because of me. All I do is give you everything I have, but you know what? You've given me everything you had. You know, you bought my songs when I was a writer. You bought my records and my artists when I was a producer and ran companies. You were there at Woodstock. You helped keep it alive, you know, and it's really wonderful. So that was Bert, you know. If you read my book, he wrote that song when I was dosed. My wife and I were dosed at Woodstock. I'd never taken a psychedelic, and I saw what happened at Woodstock 3 without me doing the promotion. I saw that at Woodstock 1, and Bert Summers saw me in trouble, and we're good friends. I'd produced 3 albums with him, and he wrote this song to help me sort of figure out that I was really not in 1999. I was back in 1969, and he took me back there. So I said I was going to play music by all kinds of bands. If I was 40 years younger, this would be a band I might buy. I'm sort of still into Beethoven, you know, and I love the Beatles, you know. So what can I tell you? And Pink Floyd and a lot of bands you do, and Traffic. So now tonight we have Waylon, we have Phil from Waylon, and I'm going to play a song that they wrote and get Phil on. The song is called Fire Down Below. Welcome. From rocking. You know what? You know, that reminds me of a part of life because I've been doing this professionally since I was 16. But I never got to do. I never got to go to clubs. I never got to hear, you know, new good rock bands when I was younger. You know, so it's sort of interesting for me to find a band that's newer and harder rock, and it's fun for me. You know, it's what it's all about. It's what the show's all about, and that was really good. And why it's really good is because of Phil. Hey, Phil.
Hey, what's going on, Artie?
Oh, I was just sitting here freaking out. What are you going to say tonight? What are you going to say? You know what it's like when he goes 3-2-1, and here's Artie Cornfell, and I'm just like, what am I going to say to over 100,000 people or 500,000, whatever's listening to? And it's the same thing I'd say to someone sitting right here with me. So welcome to the show, my friend. A question, when did you turn into a music freak? Was it before you?
I've been a music freak since I was 5 years old. I was looking in the mirror, wishing I looked like Elvis, you know, trying to wear Elvis-type clothes to school.
Really?
And then when I discovered the Beatles, that changed my life after that. That was about seventh grade.
Wow. Good thing you weren't into the Moby Grape, but would it really change your life?
Yeah, I've always been really obsessed with it in my mind, honestly. And when I met the guys in my band, they're kind of the same way. They're born for this, you know, and that's why it works out the way it does, and that's why we're able to sacrifice, you know, as you know, as a musician and artist, you sacrifice everything, you know, to be on the road and to be, you know, constantly working on your craft. That's why it's a great fit in this band.
Yeah, well, you know why? With every band that's good, and with every, you know, hey, you know why? It's like I didn't get where I am because I didn't practice a whole lot. You know, when I go in the studio, I know what's going on. So, you know, and when I hear songs, I know what's good songs and stuff, and I'm happy about that. And I love hearing a band like yours because those are the parts of my ears that I was professional the whole time and didn't get to go to venues, only to the acts I had and to big shows and, you know, and in the studio all the time and traveling myself. So it was really good to hear some good rock and roll like that, you know.
We've been in enough dirty rock clubs for the both of us, I can promise you that.
Yeah. Oh, God, I played one in Washington called the Crystal Lounge, me and Steve, and the Pied Piper was number one in Washington. And I had long hair, it was the Vietnam War days, and it was before Woodstock. And we go to play this place, and it's all Marines and soldiers and sailors and everything, and they're pulling our hair and calling us commie son of a bitches. And, you know, so I knew it was going to be... The night ended with, while we were singing, I was seeing bodies, you know, how the spotlight... They actually had, when I saw a chain link fence in front of the stage, I knew it was trouble. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the Pied Piper, I'm seeing chairs flying through the lights and people, you know. So fortunately, they had a way out the back. They weren't booing us. They all came there to fight. They were probably, you know, on their way to Vietnam or just got back or something. And it was a funny show. When did you start playing, by the way?
I started guitar lessons in like third or fourth grade, but I hated it. You know, because the first things you learn in guitar lessons are like goofy songs that don't make any sense. They don't sound anything like the songs you want to be playing. You know, so I quit. And then some friends of mine in sixth grade wanted to start a band, and they knew that I had kind of played. You know, and so then once I realized that I could play with some guys and actually make music, I took it a little bit more seriously. And then really, though, when I met the singer in Wayland, Mitch, who maybe you'll talk to a little later, when we met, we were 18 years old, and that's when it just took over our lives. Him and I started making music together and became best friends. And it took and just that relationship, the songwriting that happened between him and I took my guitar playing to all different levels.
Right. Now, let me ask you something. Did you, before you started for the recording, did you start playing first?
Yeah, him and I actually played on the streets in L.A. together. We were an acoustic duo, and we would play on the streets all summer to make money.
Oh, I once gave you a pack of cigarettes when I lived in L.A. I remember you now. You were right on. You were in West Hollywood, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think I remember you walking by.
Yeah. Yeah, you were 2 blocks from Rodeo Drive, and I saw you had a sign saying, musician will play now for money.
We were not allowed that close to Rodeo Drive, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, God. Well, in other parts of my life, I hate to admit it, but I used to go there to get my hair cut and stuff. But that was, you're always the same. It's just a matter of what you have and what you give away. If you give away enough, you get more back. And you give away out of love, and it all works out right. Okay, Fire Down Below, 1 to 10, your album. What would you give Fire Down Below? What would you give it, 1 to 10, on your album?
I give Fire Down Below a 10. I mean, that's as soon as we got in the studio to record this record, we wanted to pay tribute to a Michigan songwriter, because that's where we're from.
Right.
And so this Bob Seger song came up, Fire Down Below.
Did you know that I'm partially why Bob Seger happened?
I did not know that, but I believe it.
Yeah, I was running Capitol Records, and I'm the one who got him to put the money up to promote him, the band, and the games people play. But they were all dying, you know.
That's
and I
awesome.
and I love Bob Seger, and that's why
yeah,
I like.
Thanks for doing
I love what you did with it. That's why I put it up first.
Thanks a lot, man. We're really proud of it because, you know, like I said, being from Michigan, that was kind of our tribute to the people of our state, you know, which is the best, you know, to us, it's just the hardest working people, and we're so proud to be from there, and we're proud to, you know, that's why we named the band Wayland. That's named after my hometown. You know, we want to put this place on the map.
Right. Now that you said Michigan, let me just cut in and say, everybody out there, look at the politics in Michigan and see if you agree with the governor and the Congress in Michigan's doing. Check it out.
But
I don't want, because you know I could go political sometimes for hours, but we're going. And you know what? When you play rock and roll, it is political. Everything you write is
what you're doing. Michigan, you know, some people call it a sinking ship. Well, the people there are not sinking. You know, the economy may be called that, but the people there are working harder than ever, and there's true hearts there, and there's just no denying it.
Well, don't you? I mean, I have to put it in. Then don't you think it's rather silly that you're watching all these Republican right wing Tea Party debates and stuff, and you see states that are in a position we're in debt because of George Bush's years, and Obama is killing himself to get this thing together. And I, when I hear him attacked, I don't agree with everything he's doing. But you know what? Michigan shouldn't be in the shape it's in. And I'm in Florida. God almighty, the foreclosure rate of every state is right around where I live, around the Palm Beach area in Florida. So, I've had neighbors foreclosed, you know, and that's sad. So, but what's not sad is she lights it up. Now, let me ask you something. You wrote a song called She Lights It Up. Was it about a particular she, yes or no?
It is. It's funny. It's actually about the first idea started with our lead singer. It's about a girl that turned him down on a date probably 10 times. And this song is about how in love, obviously, he is with her. But it was kind of maps out the perfect date that he envisioned.
How did it work out in the end?
Well, he won in the end. We'll say that.
He wanted it to end?
No, I think he won in the end.
Oh, yeah, right. These boots are... That's why I wrote the song. These boots are meant for walking.
He got a date.
Oh, God. Well, anyway, at that point, she lit it up for him. So, who's singing lead on this?
What's that?
Who's singing the lead on She Lights It Up?
Oh, it's Mitch. Mitch is always singing lead. I play guitar. Mitch is on lead. Dean Pizzazz on the bass. Tyler Coburn on the drums. It's always the same lineup.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's hear how wonderful he thought he was at that particular point before he walked.
Yeah, we're proud of this song.
She said she'd go out, so I picked her up. She's walking out her door. Slow motion steps. My heart speeds up as her feet touch the passenger floor. I've never seen someone so lovely and shining in the night. shutting the door, turning off the light. I don't care where we go, as long as she's by my side. When we get there, we know we've been waiting.
To the spirit, and I'm here with Phil, and Mitch is around too. That's a great song. That's a great record. You know, anytime and any place. You know, it could be 1968, 78, 88, 98, 2008. Hopefully, 2013 for you, or 12. You know, but that really is a great record, guys.
Well, thank you. We make a point, you know, with our songwriting, we work really hard to, you know, we want to write in a timeless fashion, you could say. You know, we're trying to write real songs here. It's always been a goal of this band since Mitch and I first met.
Well, you know what it is,
from you, Artie.
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, Phil, the way I look at it is, there are X number, probably, I'll say, the audience tonight, maybe 120,000 really like that song out of the total audience, you know, and they relate to it, you know, and you know, because I found out with my songs, people give me interpretations of even hits, and they're nothing to what I had in mind when I wrote it, you know. You write.
Well, let's make sure those 120,000 on iTunes, so they can take it with them. You know?
What are you taking the show over? I had a spot for you to do that. What do you? What do you? What are you, fucking crazy? Come on, buy the guys' CDs. These guys worked hard. The music's good. If you want to rock and you want to hear some beautiful stuff, check them out. Okay, where do you go to get this stuff?
What's that?
Where do you go to get this, to get your download?
It's available on iTunes, Amazon.com, Walmart.com, anywhere digitally that you can buy music, you can buy ours.
Right. I'm changing my name to Artie.com instead of Kornfeld.
Oh, don't do that. Yeah,
I want to have a new identity. This way no one will know me. I'll just be anonymous.com. She lights it up really, really good. Hey, Mitch, great job.
He's listening. Yeah. And we're going to get him on the phone here with you in a minute.
Yeah, that was a great job. Welcome to my head. Who are you welcoming to your head? The name of your song, you know, like just now. If you were going to welcome someone to your head, who would you be welcoming? I'm just curious. Would it be a seal?
You're talking to me right now. I'm in New York City. It's our first long tour we've been on, and we've been playing for people every night. And when this song comes up in the set, it's a real kind of opening the doors to Waylon. You know, welcome to my head is, you know, it's kind of a welcome to this party that we're throwing, you know.
And is that what you're thinking right now about it?
What's that?
What are you thinking about it right now? That you're proud of it?
Oh, I'm so proud of this song.
Yeah, well, you should be.
It's my favorite song we play.
You should be, because I heard it and I really like this song.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, it's really cool, you know. And it's a pleasure to play it. Hope you're all having a good time. Remember, Spirit of Woodstock is not going back to 1969 like my ex-partners did with Woodstock 2 and 3. You know, it's about being here now and having that magic that happened in Woodstock where you had 600,000 people without a fistfight, you know? Come on. You know? With everything falling apart, people helped each other, you know?
Times a shaman's pain in my mind. A shelter from the past, going nowhere fast. Try to fight, but I'm not down. Welcome to my head. Running from who we are won't get you too far. Wanna fly, but I'm shot. Welcome to my
no surprise to me when I spoke to Phil on the phone yesterday, I think, and I asked him what band affected them a lot, and they said Led Zeppelin, right? But also Queen, you know. And now I hear, you know, I heard that beautiful ballad, and, you know, and then I hear this rocking, you know. And I think it's good that musicians have the ability to write and create in a band, both kinds of music. Phil, is your co-writer and singer sometimes available, Mitch?
Yeah, so my partner's right here. I'd love to introduce him to you, Artie.
Okay.
This is Mitch Arnold, the singer for Wayland.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Artie.
How's it going? I know. How's it going?
It goes fantastic. Thank you.
How's the show going?
Oh, it's great. Actually, Phil is out in the hallway here, and we're listening inside in the living room. It sounds great.
Yeah, right. You can. I can't actually. I never heard one of my shows because if I was listening, it's all, you know, 10 seconds going this way and I'm behind or something. You did a great job with your vocals that you did, and really, really great. I want to ask you a question. When did you feel? Phil said it was around when you first met. When did you feel that you and Phil were going to be a team and do this Waylon trip?
You know what? When we met, I was actually kind of on a different path. I had no plans on being in a band or writing songs. I was a songwriter, but I had no real ambition of doing it for a living. And Phil and I started writing songs and playing out at parties and out at like open mics and things like that. And it was probably less than a year after when we met, Phil looked at me one day and he was like, "Hey man, do you want to do this? Do you want to just stop everything that we're doing and, you know, let's start writing songs and just quit our jobs and be musicians." And so that's what we did.
That's great. What do you think of Phil? Is he a good guy?
Oh, he's amazing. He's my best friend. He's incredible. Yeah. I actually Phil is one of those guys that no matter what a room feels like on any given opportunity or any given day or any given moment, Phil Volinsky can walk into that room and change it just by walking into it. That's he's such a powerful human being, and I mean that in a positive way. He's probably the most influential positive force besides, you know, the light of the creator that is in my life. You know what I mean? I mean, this guy walks into a room and takes over in a positive way every single time. And I've seen it so many times where he walks into a bar. Let's say we're in Los Angeles. He walks into a bar. A guy wants to kill Phil. He wants to kill him. For whatever reason, and at the end of the night, that guy is buying Phil's drinks.
Right.
Because he's such an amazing dude, you know, and can turn anything around. And that's what he does for the band. That's what he does for the band.
I could hear that by the change change in the music, you know, from one to the other. Well, let me ask you something. Do you remember the first time you played for, like, a fairly good-sized crowd?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Do you remember the first time you guys played for, like, a place you wanted to play and you finally got into play it? Did you have that happen?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We were super excited to play the Whiskey a Go-Go. And it was a long time ago. But we looked at each other, we were like, this is it. We are playing the Whiskey a Go-Go in Hollywood, California. We've made it. This is the top. And of course, there was no one there to see us, and it cost us an arm and a leg to go on stage, and the sound was terrible. And
I played the Whiskey. I know.
Well, you know what? You know, your time was a little different. I think. I think that there was a lot. We were excited because there was so much history in the Whiskey a Go-Go. There had been, you know, the Doors and Janis Joplin and, you know, the Stones, Led Zeppelin, Guns N' Roses had graced the stage, and we thought that that was the end-all, be-all at the time, and we played it many times over, and, you know, we did have some amazing experiences on that stage, but I can remember that afternoon before we played, I mean, we were excited. We were really excited to play it.
All right, well, you know what? Way to go. Look forward to listening to it. If you know, send me a copy, will you? Or I'll just download it. Thank you so much, man. And your voice is great, by the way.
And thank you, Marty. I appreciate it.
Your writing is good too, by the way. Really good. So, what we'll do is, Z-Man. Are you alive, Z-Man?
I am here, my man.
Okay, let me ask you something. What's the next song, Z-Man?
We are going to play... Oh, I have to go back. We are about to play Nobody's Perfect.
And now, Mitch, and then I'll talk to Phil again, ask him the same things I asked you. So thank you so much. See you soon.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Spirit Show. Whatever spirit you have tonight, whatever spirits you're doing, be careful. Make sure it's not something that's going to hurt you.
Make sure it's nothing illegal, too.
Well, you know what? I've stated many times, you know, I'm sober 28 years, and I'm also speaking at a legalized marijuana for medical use convention. So I have all kinds of thoughts, but I've seen too many kids. And since my daughter died of an overdose, it's very critical to me to get that message out. So I do a lot of work when I'm not on the air and not on Facebook and not in the studio working on that stuff. It's funny, shopping for a savior, and it goes. Right into on my knees. You know, it's sort of funny. I was almost thinking, should we have played the two of them together?
the words do sound like they have the same message, but they're very different songs. Savior is a tune that we first started writing when we were in Australia, and it is the closest thing we have to a gospel song. It's kind of our tap into, you know, what spirituality could be to us.
Does it mean freedom to you?
Of course it does, and if you listen to the words of the song, it's kind of being pulled in a lot of directions socially, but it's about making our own decision. You know, it's about our own connection.
Right. You know what? You got to really look into inside yourself, and you got to give it away to keep it. You know, that love, you got to give it away all the time, whether it's musically or whatever you do.
The last couple of days of getting to know you, you know, just over the phone and stuff, you've already, you know, really shared that message with me. It's taught me a lot already. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear that, because you know what? I tell myself that every day when I wake up, you know, and that's 28 years. Not because I'm going to go running out and do anything, because, you know, I was a coke kid and that was it. But I don't know. I sort of like life the way it is right now, especially at 140. I'm the oldest. When I was mixing one of the Davin McCoy guys, I was thinking, he was asleep. It was 3 in the morning. And I said, I'm probably the oldest acting producer doing rock and R&B right now in the world. You know. You know, it made me feel old. No, it made me feel. I don't know about you, but isn't the most wonderful feeling is when you're in the studio and you hit a take on the basic track and you know that's it. It's just right. Isn't that a great feeling?
I like it, man. We live for that feeling.
Oh yeah, me too. Anybody's been this, and I've asked, you know, people that are in the Hall of Fame that are on the show, and you know, we all have, and studio musicians like my drummer Steve Gadds, any drummer knows who he is, and you know, it's what it's like to work with musicians, and when it all comes together, whether it's your own band or whether it's studio guys, it's just an incredible feeling. You know, it's just
I'm sure Tyler Colburn told you the same thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. So. What do you think of Mitch?
Mitch who?
Mitch from your band.
I wouldn't trust him. That's for sure. No, I'm just kidding, Artie. No, Mitch is my absolute best friend. You know, I first met Mitch. Him and I sat down to play guitars, and he only knew about two chords. And with those two chords, he had already written like 3 songs. You know, he's kind of one of those amazing creative minds that there's no limits on his creativity. And his voice is, I mean, when I first met him, I said, dude, I want to sing like you. I love that high rock and roll sound. He said, oh, it's easy. I'll teach you to sing like me, no problem. That's what he told me. So I kept hanging out with him, you know, hoping that he would teach me to sing like that. He never did. He just got way better.
Oh, well, that's good. Then you had a part of his growth, and he had a part of your growth, and that's a good thing to happen in a band.
It's beautiful. It's been a beautiful partnership. We've traveled all over the world together playing. Like I said, it started out just playing acoustic guitars on the streets of Huntington Beach in Los Angeles, and it took us all over the world, and we built a band around it. And, you know, thank God we came in touch with Dean Pizzazz, who joined playing the bass, who's been... He's an incredible musician and an absolute crucial character to this rock and roll circus. And Tyler Colburn joined a few years later. He's from my hometown area. And it just makes a perfect family. We've been living together for, the four of us have been living together for like 6 or 7 years as a band.
Right, well, you know what, because of the time, what we're going to do is I'm going to, I'm going to say goodnight to you and thank you so much. And don't forget, guys, I think it was MySpace, I think it was iTunes, I think it was, where else?
It's WaylandTheBand.com. WayLand, TheBand.com. Find the music on iTunes, and please find us on Facebook. Go to our page and click that like button. That gives us the support we need to stay in touch with you.
Right. Okay. Well, you know what? Thank you so much. Thanks for great music. And we're going to go out with you and say good night. And thank you so much, you know, both you and the band, for a real rocking night. And the ballad is incredible, by the way. I love it. Anyway, on my knees. Now, if that was R&B, it would be down on your knees. Or if it was Serbian, it would probably be, I don't know what they eat on your head. Yeah, it would be Wahaki on your head. Anyway, on my knees, and thank you so much. And I am on my knees. Still lucky.